Hello, I am James Kaiser, also known as Retro Kaiser, and you are listening to Classic Leet, one of my favourite podcasts of all time, so you better damn well like it, otherwise I'm going to go in there and rip your bloody arms off.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 42 of Classic Leet. My name is Tony and I'm here with my friend Scott. How you doing, Scott?
I'm doing awesome, man. We are recording a little late this week again, but this is a good way to spend my Friday. I'm really, really excited to have the week over with.
This is good.
This week, though, went way better than my last several. So as you suggested last episode, to get in a better mental position and start thinking more positively, and I've been able to do that. So
it is. It's good. I'm a little tired tonight, but I'm not bad, and I'm just pumped to be recording. And the weekend is – it's one of my favorite times because I get to play the most games on the weekend. So I'm really pumped about that. So
definitely, definitely. So I'm excited for episode 42. I can't believe it's already 42. I know that every podcast says that they can't believe it they made it this far, but – you know, being independent and the schedules that we have, I'm just insanely impressed that we have this many out so far.
Oh, dude, we're going to keep rolling, man. Classic Leet is not stopping. I promise that. It's going to be fun.
No question. And it's exciting and it makes us feel good when we have people that write in. And we have a nice mail segment this week. We have lots of different comments, but they're all, for the most part, pretty short except for a couple. So we decided that we'll actually get the show started with a little bit of mail.
Yeah, so let's hear. You have starting something from our friend VK, correct?
Yeah, VK. And he actually posted on episode 40 this comment, and he was a little late getting this into us on episode 41, so I promised that we'd read it here. But he writes in really simply and asks, would we like a Sonic and Mario crossover game? He also asked this to Gooch and the Douchebag, and I listened to their responses. And, Tony, at least in my opinion, would I like a Sonic and Mario crossover game in an ideal world? Absolutely, 100% yes. And it's because I love both of those characters so much. But I can't wrap my mind around how it would be possible to make it a fun game that doesn't feel broken. So, I don't know. What do you think about that? What's your opinion?
I just don't think it matters that much anymore. Like, I don't think it's I'm trying to think back when I played Mario and Sonic a ton when I was younger, and it was kind of like Sega versus Nintendo, and will there ever be a Mario and Sonic game together, like, in a lot of those conversations. I think then it would have been kind of a big deal. I think now, I mean, in my mind, they've ruined Sonic in a lot of ways because they've, you know, like, at least the Mario games that come out are still – almost every single one is really good.
Yeah.
And the Sonic ones, on the other hand, is like they had a really bad streak there. So he's kind of like just another character to me in a lot of ways, even though I have a lot of great memories playing Sonic.
Yeah, I
just
can see
don't.
That.
I don't think a Sonic Mario crossover would happen, nor would I think it would carry that much weight in today's gaming market. So
yeah, for me, it might not. I totally agree with you there. I just as much as the retro gamer in me would love to see something like that happen. I can't imagine a way that it would be a functional and good game if they did do it. And it would, for me, at least it would seem like kind of a cheap ploy, a way to try to capitalize on both franchises. And like you had just pointed out, man, you know, Sonic, I mean, the best Sonic game that's come out recently, and it's only arguable that it's a good game, is Sonic 4 Episode 1. So for me, yeah, I would like it, but I don't think it's really possible.
Yeah, so. I totally agree. So we also had our friend Half-Blind Gamer write in.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
So thanks for the question, VK. And Half-Blind Gamer writes in. He's I've enjoyed reading his responses lately, a lot to our reviews and when he's been writing in. So he says, Ultra Podcast guys, pure ultra. No pun intended. An interesting segment on Ultra Games as a whole, as I didn't even know about them. Didn't think Konami had such problems over here. Looking at the list, I'm also not surprised they're not mentioned much. Metal Gear and Defender of the Crown are both rather poor ports of great home computer games, and Mission Impossible does its name justice, and for that it sucks in my book. I never got that far in that game. The turtle games were all right, especially the second one was pretty damn cool. Others on the list I haven't really played, I think, except the or die games, and I wasn't too thrilled about those. Skate or die. Onwards to more modern matters now, like the console exclusive games. I love that. I hate multi-platform games. I wish more companies would just pick a console per game and not port it over. Yeah, it's that cool that you can play games on more than one consoles. It gets the game to more people. However, it also stops developers from truly tapping into particular console strengths. The PS3 and 360 might be able to pull off a lot of the same tricks, but that doesn't mean you should just restrict yourself to those tricks. Console exclusives tend to be more polished products, I find, and they're specifically made for that system. And a lot of multi-platform games have weird bugs or a version that's far inferior to the other version. I'd rather have companies focus all efforts and resources into one quality product. And besides, what's the point of console wars if they end up having the same games anyways? We need to fight over who offers the prettiest faceplates next generation. Anyways, I babbled on for long enough, I think. Take care, guys.
So Tony, he's actually at a little bit of contrast with you there. And
yeah, that's why I'm blocking him right now from the site.
What's cool, though, about this is that we can actually have like an honest discussion and you guys can disagree and we can still be very grateful that he writes into the show.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think the console, I mean, he's got a good part with the console things. My argument is more, let's just have one console.
Yeah.
And not two. But I know that's never going to happen because there's money involved.
That's right.
And when there's money involved, nothing makes sense.
Except for competition. And, you know, you and I have talked about that. If we go way back, single-digit episodes, we've had some debates on one versus two consoles, and I don't know. It's cool to have such a good perspective and good points brought across. So from everything that you said in episode 41 and then everything that Half-Blind Gamer just brought up, I feel like you can actually form a really informed opinion on which side of that line you want to stand on, you know?
And yeah, for sure.
That's a very, very good thing, and I'm proud that our show is actually gotten to the point where we have people that write in and they're not hating on us even though they disagree, which is really, really refreshing and really cool. So Half-Blind Gamer, thank you very much. For anyone again that has not checked out his YouTube channel, go to youtube.com/halfblindgamer, and he's putting videos on another site besides RetroWare TV right now, focusing on some modern consoles. And Seb, I'm sorry, man, it's slipping my mind. So I'll try to post a link to some of the newer sites, and then maybe next week, if I remember, I will give you a proper shout out to the new site you're posting some modern stuff on. So yes, we greatly appreciate you writing in, man. Very cool stuff. And then Tony, now we're getting into the part of the show where I have to start apologizing profusely to people. I speak incorrectly quite often, and now I'm getting called out for it. So let's begin with Retro Kaiser, who I cannot believe he's breaking my balls about this, but I did say SNES blinking problems instead of NES. Kaiser, dude, you know that's totally a flub. I mean, come on, cut me some slack. And he also is mad at us and declares war because apparently, Classic Elite's official stance is Zelda's an RPG. So I don't have a dog in that fight because I enjoy Zelda, and that's pretty much where the buck stops with me. I don't care what you classify it as. But he says he's just being silly. So we appreciate it, Kaiser. And war on, man. We will take you down. We will take out Sunday Night Kaiser. How's that sound, Tony?
Sure, let's go for it.
You want to go to bat with him? So, Kaiser, thanks for pointing out my flubs, man. Yes, everybody, I understand that the Super Nintendo did not have any blinking problems, and I just get a little ahead of myself sometimes when I'm speaking, and I need to learn to just slow down. I get just too darn excited, man.
Slow your roll, dude. Slow your roll.
So, but Kaiser, man, thank you very much for writing in. And also, thank you for the promo that you heard at the beginning of the episode before it aired. Very cool stuff. So people that listen to our show, please on Sunday nights listen to Sunday Night Kaiser, or go to our friends page and click on CatCast and check out the archive of everything that James Kaiser does. Cool stuff. So my apologies, man, and point out any errors and flubs I make this episode. They're more than welcome.
Just for Scott.
Just for me. Because you don't make mistakes. Tony's perfect. I'm the one that's screwing up all the time.
Don't ask Jerry Terrifying. He can point out a few flaws in my personality, but that's okay.
Who do we have got next?
We got a letter from C-Bomb.
Oh, one of the
friends, C-Bomb.
That's right. One of our favorite writers.
Yeah, he writes in. He talks about Zelda a little bit here. He says, "Hello, guys. For one of my all-time favorite video game series, 25th birthday, here are my three all-time favorite Zelda games." Because, you know, we talked about Zelda a little bit last episode.
Yep.
He says, number one, Link's Awakening. Number two, Ocarina of Time.
I love how he put in the correct pronunciation.
Yeah. Thank you. So we didn't say Ocarina. So
don't make fun of Gooch and Douchebag on air, dude. That's for unknown.
I know.
Gooch TV, exactly. We're sorry, man. We're kidding. You guys called yourself Hicks on the last episode. Or no, you said Hillbilly. So,
dude, that's exactly what I was thinking. Like, we should say something real to the point about Gooch and the Douchebag. But then I was like, but you beat me to the punch. So there we go.
There we go. We got some good stuff rolling tonight, that's right. I suppose.
And number three, Wind Waker. I love all three games, and they're also the only three Zelda games I've ever beaten aside from the first one.
Cool.
I owned Ocarina of Time for about 5 years before I beat it, so beating the game was my number one proudest moment of all time playing a video game. And I didn't get any help from anyone. So that leads me into my question. What was your proudest video game moment ever?
Wow.
That's a big question.
That is. Do you have anything off the top of your head?
You know, to be honest, I hate the questions that say, what was your number one all-time favorite? Because I never have a number one favorite. I have a couple things, but I'm not gonna share a couple. I'm just going to share one. One of my favorite, most proudest moments.
You are adding words in there like crazy.
I'm going crazy, man. I'm going nuts. One of my proudest video game moments of all time was what year was that? I think I was a freshman in high school, and the Nintendo 64 had come out, and it was the first console that I was able to save up enough of my own money to go out and buy it myself.
Cool.
But I couldn't buy any games. We just had to rent games for a while from the Video Connection,
that's
Delphus,
right.
Ohio. That's right. And so what we did, what I did was I actually had mowed some yards and saved some money and kind of worked my job and did some of that stuff. And I bought my brother Madden 64 because we used to love to play football games together.
Yeah.
And Madden 64 was the very first Madden game for Nintendo 64. It's before the Madden season or the Madden series was a bunch of hosers like it is now. But anyways, so Madden 64 came out for Nintendo 64, and I bought it for my brother for Christmas. And I was so excited that I was able to save up the money and buy our first N64 game. And it was the one that didn't have real teams because they didn't have the license that year. So it was really fun. But it was so awesome graphically. Like, I was just floored by it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because back then when a new console came out, it was just mind-blowing, you know, just unbelievable. And so, yeah, so I bought that. That was one of my proudest moments of gaming ever, is buying that and playing that with him. So, yeah.
That's cool. I feel like mine now pale in comparison.
Yeah, yours sucks.
My proudest moment, I'm like you. I couldn't decide just one. So I broke it into, I guess, rolling with the Zelda theme that's coincidentally going to jump up periodically throughout the episode. As a kid, my proudest moment was beating Mega Man 2. I've talked about the story of my father and I playing that through all the way and beating that game. It was really hard. It was very challenging, and I will always hold Mega Man 2 near and dear to my heart. So beating Dr. Wily, even as stupid as it was to use the damn bubble gun, was very, very proud moment for both of us and for me. And then as an adult, I guess, I was a freshman in college, so I'll consider this maybe my adult years. That was actually when I beat Contra for the first time without the Konami code. So beating Mega Man 2 and beating Contra, it's a toss-up on those being my proudest moments.
Okay.
So great question, C-Bomb. That's that is a tough one, but that's a fair question. And C-Bomb, I know that you write into a lot of the podcasts that are in our network, and I'd be interesting to hear what everyone has to say about that. So I'll challenge you to write into Gooch and the Douchebag, Critical Failure, Jerry Terrifying, Retro League, write into Retro Kaiser. Ask those guys the same question. What was their proudest moment? I'd be really interested to hear about that. So very cool stuff. And then speaking of Jerry Terrifying, I know we had mentioned him earlier. Well, he wrote in to correct another one of my flubs. He writes in, he says, listening to your discussion on the podcast, just wanted to clear it up a little. And he's referencing the discussion that you and I had, Tony, on Ultra. He writes, Ultra did not develop games, they published games. So mostly they just localized Konami's games and published them. Later they published other developers' games, like Nightshade was developed by Beam Software, but it was published by Ultra. Just a cool little tidbit there. Nintendo's monopoly was totally illegal, and after losing a lawsuit and their iron grip on the American home console market, there was no need for Ultra's existence anymore, as Konami could publish as many games as they wanted. Nintendo's illegal monopoly is why systems like the Master System, which were technically more advanced in every way, failed to gain much market share here in the United States. So, okay, first thing I want to say, Jerry, yes, I totally understand the difference between a publisher and a developer, and I know that I screwed up when I was talking about Mindjack a while ago. I think it was Mindjack I screwed up. One of the Square games. I do understand the difference between a developer and a publisher, but quite honestly, when I was doing my research for Ultra Games, I saw on the very first line, subsidiary of Konami, and then I saw a list of games. So my laziness is the reason that I flubbed that pretty badly. So my bad, but Jerry is, he's our safety net. He's our quality control. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
And as much as I want to hate his face for it, I can't help but just greatly appreciate it, because if it wasn't for him just giving us little tidbits here and there to correct errors and flubs that I make, I think that I would just go on rambling without correcting myself ever, just being clueless that I'm just talking out of my butt, not making any sense. So just to clear everything up, everybody, Ultra Games was a publisher, and I was under the wrong impression. They did not develop any games. But it makes sense why Konami made a subsidiary as a way to kind of get around the monopoly. That way, Konami didn't have to feel restricted by Nintendo. And it looks like that would explain the reason why Konami dropped them going into the Super Nintendo system. So, yeah, very cool stuff, man. Jerry, thank you very much for that. And I have a personal email that my friend Matt wrote in. Do we have anything left on your end, Tony?
Nope.
Okay. Well, last episode, I talked about a memory that I had with my good friend Matt. And it was a memory that I had from beating Zelda 1. And Matt, I really apologize. I hope that you don't mind that I read a little bit of the email on air. But he actually wants to chime in a little bit regarding the Legend of Zelda RPG issue. And Matt is a friend of mine that goes back to first grade. And he's more like you, Tony, where he kept up with gaming. And I stayed stuck in my little retro world of 8 and 16-bit games until I decided to ramble on the internet about it. So, you know, Matt has a lot better of an idea of what's going on in gaming and what has happened through gaming. So he writes in to say, regarding the Legend of Zelda RPG issue, it's a rather complicated one as I see it. On the one hand, Zelda has a lot in common with traditional RPGs. A developed game world, a currency which to buy improvements to your equipment or potions, NPCs in which to interact with. That means non-playable character, right?
I think so.
I think, okay, that's what I would guess. Sorry, Matt, I'm a noob, so sorry about that. He goes, NPCs in which to interact with, side quests with rewards, essential quests leading through the world to overcome a great evil. And then he writes, on the other hand, it's missing some typical RPG elements, such as character levels, and we will exclude Zelda 2, a party, or detailed character development. While the character does come into his own, most RPGs have more extensive character development than this game traditionally does. He said, additionally, Zelda is more action-based style, and you miss with your hits based on your skill of timing and pressing buttons, unlike some other RPGs which are turn-based. That's all that I'm going to get into, other than the fact that I really let him down. He is just floored that I've never played A Link to the Past, which is his favorite game, which I feel so bad about. See, he was one of those kids that was a friend of mine that had the Super Nintendo when I was growing up, when I had the Genesis. So I missed all those games. So I do apologize to Matt about that. I should, and anybody. Man, Tony, that's your favorite Zelda game, right?
Oh, yeah, I love that game. And I just want to clarify that Zelda is an action RPG.
Okay, thanks. So is that the official Classic Elite stance? It's an action RPG? Okay.
Yep, everyone was right. It's not an RPG. It's an action RPG.
There we go. But the cool thing about Matt, he's just a very open-minded guy, so he can see both sides of the argument. And he feels a little conflicted on what to call it as well. So he does make a mention, and there's a web series out there called Legend of Neil, which is a web parody of The Legend of Zelda. So I just wanted to mention that. And it's not work safe. And if we have younger audiences, there's like some very adult jokes. So, you know, if you're younger or you're easily offended, don't check out Legend of Neil. But otherwise, definitely go look into that. And Matt, it was unbelievable to get the email that I got from you. I wrote Matt an email. I haven't talked to him in a couple of years, just to let him know that I talked about him on the show. And he wrote me back this like really heartfelt, very touching email. So I can't wait to actually sit down and write him back, because man, it felt amazing to actually have him interact with me in terms of gaming again, and then also in real life. So thank you very much, Matt. I'm glad to hear all is going well. And things are going good on my end, so I can't wait to share more of that about our personal lives with you. But that wraps up our mail segment this week, Tony. It was a really, really good one.
It was good.
Hey, I'm Kevin.
And I'm Rooster.
From Paranerds.com. And you're listening to the Classic League podcast.
So, we had talked before the show, and I'm going to take the reins again, and we're going to roll with Retro first. So,
let's go for it, buddy. See what you got.
Now, last episode, speaking of the Ultra Games thing, I brought up Operation C, which is the Game Boy version of Contra. And not going to lie, I went and I checked out a ROM, downloaded it, and wanted to play it. Holy crap, dude. Have you ever played Operation C?
I haven't.
Oh, my God. It's unbelievable. It's even though it's only in the classic Game Boy setting, it's as good as original Contra and Super C.
Oh, wow.
There's some things. Now, I may be wrong here, so if anybody wants to correct me, please do. But Operation C was the very first time that I ever noticed a Heat Seeker gun, which does come up in later Contra titles. And it was also the first time that picking up the same gun twice improved the power of the gun. So for me, in many ways, this feels like a sequel to Super C, which was basically Contra 2 for the NES. And after playing this ROM, I feel like being a player of the Game Boy and formerly having a Game Boy collection, I missed out, dude. And the fact that you've never played it, you've missed out. And anyone that hasn't played Operation C, if you're a Contra fan, has missed out. This is a 100%, no question about it. If you're a Game Boy collector, this is a must-have in your Game Boy collection. This for me, is up there with Super Mario Land, Kirby Dream Land 1 or 2, Super Mario 2, 6 Golden Coins, Battletoads. I mean, this game's unbelievable. So, Tony, go check it out online. Go figure out a way to play it.
Well, dude, actually, I was thinking about that because I have the Super Nintendo, and I just recently got the Game Boy cart for it.
Oh yeah,
that thing we can. And I was thinking about how cool it would be to go. Like, I might run out to the game store tomorrow, here in town, and see if they have that, and I could pick it up and actually play it on the Super Nintendo on like the big screen, which would be awesome. So.
And honestly, dude, the way with how good the controls are, it won't feel clunky for you at all. It'll control flawlessly.
That's awesome.
I'm floored with how good the game is. I really am, and
I'm pretty excited about it.
Even with the cheat code, I can't beat it, and it's got that perfect balance that Konami seemed to nail with Contra that just allows you to have just enough challenge where you can't just breeze through the game, but yeah. It's not too hard where you want to keep coming back.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Well, yeah, dude, I might check that one out, dude.
Dude, if you get it and it's too expensive, just put it on my tab. We'll put up like an IOU. Because it needs to be in your collection.
You already owe me $20, dude.
I do, and we'll probably be making it 30. So, but yeah, definitely anybody out there, go if you see Operation C out in the wild or online,
or even in a game store,
go get it. Just
get it.
Just do it.
Just get that sucker.
Oh, it's so good. And another thing that I wanted to bring up in the retro section this week is my little brother, who is, if anybody has seen us retweet the Lost Art of, my little brother, sent us a link, and it was one of the funniest articles I've read in a long time. And it is from, OC Weekly blog.
Okay.
What is OC Weekly? I don't even know what that is, but it's an article titled 10 Signs You're an Aging Gamer.
That was a great article.
I'm going to go through the top 10 here just because, embarrassingly, I fit every single one of these. So it's fitting, I guess, I'm the retro guy that's completely lost in the world of new games. Number one, you have sprite artwork posted somewhere. I do. It's in the office. I have a little Mario. Number two, you press the A or X button rapidly during loading screens.
Oh, dude, I always do that.
Now, okay, that one I'm not going to chalk up to being an old gamer, because how many times do we rapidly hit like the elevator button, or if we're waiting to cross like the sidewalk? Like, how often?
No, I'm definitely chalking it up, man.
Are you?
I just think of all those games like Mortal Kombat and NBA Jam and other ones before that where you had to, you know, you could press buttons to enter certain codes during loading screens.
Oh, God. I didn't want that. Oh, okay, you're right. Mm-hmm. And I'm so guilty of that one, too. The next one, number three, is you interchange the term one-up, extra life, and extra man. Man, it's funny, but it's sad because, like, we are totally getting old. Mm-hmm. The next one is, you know what the Nintendo smell is.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, I can still smell it. As soon as I read that one, I was like, that's it. That's the one that, like...
The number five on the list is the one that strikes with me a lot. But what's funny is number four on this article shows Captain Skyhawk. And I won't get into it now, but my buddy Matt, he'll remember this. Our good friend Dustin had a Nintendo-themed sleepover, and all we did all night was play games. And he had just gotten Captain Skyhawk for his birthday, and that game was so hard, but all of us were hooked. We kept taking turns trying to get through it. And it was the first time my buddy Nick, who eventually promised will be on the show, nice. He beat – it was the very first time I ever saw Ninja Turtles 2 arcade game completed. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, lots of – I was so lucky, dude. The friends I had growing up in grade school, gaming-wise, just were unbelievable. Really cool dudes, and we used to just have these gaming sleepovers that were just, like, tremendous. Like, so much fun. So, maybe I'll just make a side podcast with my buddies one day, and we'll just all chat. Like, you remember this? Remember this? So,
yeah, go for it.
And number five, you probably don't play games online with strangers. Oh! Dude, that's the one that really struck a chord with me. I laughed. I literally was laughing out loud when I read that one. I don't play games online with strangers. The only time I play games online or if like you or Gooch or DB, if someone that's on my friends list, if they're on, that's who I actually play games online with. So, number six, you listen to chiptune music or you have some on your MP3 player or computer. Oh my God, I'm guilty of all three of those. And then it's, you don't play public games or you don't play portable games in public anymore. Okay. That one I'm not really too guilty of just because I was so young and I don't really play too many games on my BlackBerry.
See that one rung true with me. 'Cause like the iPad, I play games all the time in public on the iPad, but it feels like it makes it okay.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Then like what if I take a Nintendo DS out somewhere, I'm like, oh man,
I'm that guy.
Like I was at a conference this summer and I saw like a 350-pound guy playing a Nintendo DS XL during the conference, like just going away at this puzzle game. And I was like, that is funny.
Dude, you talked about that in an early episode.
It was funny.
I remember that. That's great. And then it says, you kind of miss Nintendo cereal. For anyone out there that doesn't know, Nintendo actually did release a cereal, and inside of the cereal box, there was two bags. You had Super Mario shapes, and you had Zelda shapes. I do miss it, man. I enjoyed that cereal. A lot of people talk about how crappy it tastes. I guess I just didn't have developed taste buds, because I kind of liked it.
Well, man, what kid did?
What kid did? I did. I liked
what,
it.
I mean, what? No, I'm saying what kid had developed taste buds? True. Mario cereal, sweet. Give me two bowls.
That's, dude, I was like, I wanted a bowl from each one of the bags.
Mm-hmm.
It was, and the thing about the Mario Zelda cereal in one box played so perfectly into the Mario Brothers Super Show. Because remember how they would show a little Zelda trailer Monday through Thursday? During the Super Show, and then Friday, they would show an entire episode of the Zelda cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the pairing of Mario and Zelda was just, like, perfect, and they'd put it in cereal, and yeah, I kind of miss it. Even though some people don't think that it tasted great, I remember it tasting all right.
Mm-hmm.
Number nine, you aren't aware that modern arcade games now cost a lot more than a quarter. Okay, that one didn't ring true because I have seen how expensive and ridiculously expensive modern arcade games are now, but nonetheless, I'm still really disappointed every time I go into an arcade because of the cost. So even though I'm aware that it costs more, I think the fact that I'm disappointed it doesn't cost a quarter still resonated with me a little bit. And then number 10, you have an old system hooked up to your TV.
All the time.
In the bedroom, that's where the NES is hooked up.
All the freaking time.
I always will have a retro system hooked up at all times, ready to play. So, Mark, my brother, my actual real brother, not just like my bro, but Mark, dude, awesome, awesome, awesome article. Thank you very much for the find. And I hope that some of our listeners out there got a chuckle or two out of that as well, because what a well-written article. And it's funny because they nailed it. Very, very good stuff there. And to wrap up the retro section, I did want to bring attention to the very first retro review completed by Classic Leet. We did a review of Contra. It's about 3 minutes long, and you can find it on our YouTube page, youtube.com/classicleet. And I'd like some feedback. If anybody can let me know if they think it sucks or not, that would be great. And also, I actually posted, and this is a special thank you to Balzac, and maybe it was a really crappy thank you, but he made a comment on one of our episodes, because he commented on every single one, that he was impressed that I played through Contra all the way without the Konami code. So I figured, what the hell, I might as well record myself doing it, and I posted the complete playthrough, unedited, deaths, continues, and all, with commentary on our archive.org page, and maybe eventually I'll post it up on the YouTube page. I don't know. Tony, you seem to think it's a good idea. I don't think anyone will watch that, dude. It's like a 26-minute video. You really think anyone will watch that?
One person.
Yeah, me.
Dude, I think you should. I just think you should. It's one of our videos, man.
I know. Okay. Well, let me ask.
Lame. Who cares about what the listeners think?
I do. Right into the show. If we get more than three emails over the lifetime of the existence of Classic Elite that say, yes, we want it on YouTube. I'll probably put it up there. And actually, eventually you'll break me down and I'll put the full video up anyways. But if you go to archive.org and the link in the description of the actual Contra review, at archive.org, you can actually watch the whole playthrough. And it's sloppy, guys. I'm not an expert at Contra, so... yeah, man. And I wanted to give a special shout out to RetroWare TV, because they started following us on Twitter, and, Lance and John, thank you guys very much for following us on Twitter. And, for those of you that don't know, that's where I found Critical Failure from Tiger Claw TV, just one of the best friends that we've met on the internet. And then also that's where I found Half Blind Gamer, Happy Video Game Nerd. There's a lot of cool retro stuff over at RetroWare TV. Retrospectives, reviews, history lessons, very awesome stuff. We've talked about RetroWareTV.com before, so I just wanted to say hi to them and really appreciate that they've checked our stuff out. And yeah, I think, you know what, I will wrap up the retro section with that. And before we get into the modern stuff, I have a deal of the week. We're bringing the deal of the week back.
Nice. Let's hear it, buddy. What do you got going on?
It's Zelda again. I'm sorry, everybody. It's not meant to be a Zelda episode, and I'm actually cutting out some information about Zelda that I'm going to save for episode 43 or 44 down the road, because I didn't want to have a Zelda and Contra repeat like I did last week. But deal of the week right now, if you go to J2 Games, you can get Majora's Mask for the 64 classified in excellent condition after shipping with the promo code CLEET, which is CL337. You must enter that code to get this price. Go get Majora's Mask. It's, oh wow, and I just now noticed, it's $12.34. So 1, 2, 3, 4. In excellent condition. It is just the loose cart, but this is one of the best games in the Zelda franchise. I loved it. And the best price I could find online for similar condition after shipping was $16. So you're saving yourself about $4 just by going to J2 Games, which I mentioned before, you're going to get cheaper shipping with them regardless, and you're going to get a 20% off discount of your entire purchase by using the Classic Elite discount code CLEET, CL337. And please go check out Majora's Mask. Tony, did you play that game very much?
I only played about half of that one.
About half. I told the story last week about how I had my save state, or I keep saying save state. I guess I play emulators too much. My save file got deleted by some chick that came over that was just, this sucks. But anyways, Majora's Mask is a very, very unique game as well, because it does take place in that 72-hour window and things keep resetting on you. It's really hard to explain, but it's the gameplay of the child version of Ocarina of Time. So if you liked the young kid version of Ocarina of Time better than the adult gameplay, this is a game that you definitely need to check out. And if it's a game that you don't have in your collection, you need to get Majora's Mask for $12.34 from J2Games.com. So yeah, man, deal of the week. They're an unbelievable partner with Classic Elite. We really appreciate everything that they do for our listeners. And you know what? What the heck? I'm not gonna save the thing I was gonna cut out. I'm gonna go ahead and post a link to this really cool piece of art that Jerry Terrifying sent me on Skype. I won't talk about it much, but it's the Hyrule map of Zelda 1 and 2 for the NES. And the way that it's laid out, now I would never buy this thing because it's too expensive, but Tony, dude, the way that it's laid out, you could put it up in your house, not as a focal piece of art, but you could hang it the right way where people wouldn't even necessarily realize that it's an 8-bit gaming map. I don't know, you just have to look at it. Like, gamers would point it out right away, but I think like my mom might not recognize it or might not notice that it's 8-bit art. I don't know. It's really cool. So I'm going to post a link to that as well. And, okay, Tony, I'm finally done. You can have the runner's baton and, go ahead and take over the modern portion.
Okay, well, first I wanted to start out with a little bit of a review comment. Now, you know that Scott and I have a review channel on YouTube. It's youtube.com/classiclite.
Yep.
It's where we handle a lot of our reviews, and I just wanted to touch base on a couple things. First of all, I wanted to tell our listeners they can look forward to some more consumer electronic reviews coming up soon.
Yes.
I've been doing a lot of contact work with a lot of companies trying to get some consumer electronics to review, and it's actually been working. It sounds like we might have as many as three up by the end of next week, which is pretty exciting. Yes. So pay attention. We're trying to be a little bit multifaceted, and basically Scott and I, when we started this, we said we're going to do something that we're passionate about, something that we really enjoy, and we enjoy all of it. We enjoy retro, modern gaming. We enjoy electronics. So we're just going to cover the whole spectrum and just have fun as much as we can have fun. So
yeah, I mean, it's we can do what we want, right? I mean, it's our channel, it's our show. So like you said, yeah, cover everything we like.
We're going to be adding some consumer electronic reviews to the YouTube page, so be looking for those. It'll be in addition to what you see, like the Hapag review that we did and things like that. So pretty excited about that. I also want to talk about a big game that I reviewed this week called Beyond Good and Evil HD. You can watch my full. It's my longest review ever. It's about 7.5 minutes, but I just couldn't say enough about that game. What this game is it's a remastered edition for the Xbox Live Arcade, and it will be out for PlayStation Network shortly. It's a remastered edition of probably one of the biggest sleeper hits of the last console generation. And so every console generation has those things where it's just kind of like it's a popular game. It comes out of nowhere, though, and people don't realize how good it was until they missed it, you know? And so this game came out in 2003 from Ubisoft, and it's a brilliant action-adventure game that's just – it's really multifaceted for its time. And the thing I want to talk about that outside of the review that I've done is just how well this game flows. It just flows so well. It's not complicated. It's not overcrowded. It's not technical as far as buttons are concerned, but it just flows together. It just feels right. And there's something about games like that that just draw you in. And I don't know if you – do you know what I'm talking about, Scott? A game that just kind of pulls you in and the stuff that – you know, people have criticized and all those things just kind of falls to the wayside.
Yeah, I do actually. And it's part of the reason that, especially early on in the in our show, some of our early episodes, there were games like Mario 2 for the NES that I've defended repeatedly because I do think that it's a good game regardless of some of its downfalls or shortcomings. And, yeah, man, I completely agree. And one thing about your review that jumped out to me, which I wouldn't have picked up on, but after you said it, it was incredibly obvious that the same team, I think, worked on Rayman. Am I remembering that correctly?
No, it's the person who had the concept of the game was the creator of Rayman.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But it's still – that makes sense. Rayman plays itself very well. Rayman – well, actually, I played Rayman 2. I'm hoping that it's similar. But I had that same kind of a feeling. And the look of both of those games to me, at least like camera angle perspective and some character design, things like that, seemed very similar. And once you had pointed out that – you know, that fact about Rayman, it looked pretty apparent and obvious. Like, oh my gosh, of course that's in the same family of games. And Rayman 2 was a game that sucked me in like that. That there were some shortcomings because the Dreamcast wasn't a perfect system, but it was a very, very good system. And Rayman 2 is not a perfect game, but it's a very, very good game. And it's one of those games that you can overlook some of the flaws that you had just mentioned. So yeah, man, between retro and modern games, there's numerous amounts of examples where someone has actually made a game so good that you can overlook some of its shortcomings. So, yeah, man, that's...
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So just check out that game and check out the review. It's really great. It's been completely remastered with HD graphics, and it's a lot of fun. And I've really enjoyed playing through it again, so it's really cool. So make sure you check out Beyond Good and Evil HD. The second thing I want to talk about tonight is a couple announcements from the Game Developers Conference, which has been going on this week. And yeah. There's so many announcements, I really can't cover them all. So what I would do if I were you is just go out to Google and type in Game Developer or GDC 11, and it'll just kind of pull up in Google News all of the announcements consecutively. But I just want to talk about a couple things that came out of Game Developers Conference this week. And the first thing is really the industry emphasis on mobile gaming. And it's just amazing. Like, you know, you ask me, you, a lot of hardcore gamers, we're going to say we prefer to sit in front of a big TV and just pound away at playing games on our consoles and our PCs. I mean, there's no arguing that, but you cannot ignore how huge the mobile gaming market is right now. I mean, Have you noticed this, Scott? It's crazy how big the mobile gaming market is.
Well, I want to say yes, but you know what I mean. I don't follow the news of the modern stuff closely like you do. So my news is what you feed me. So from what I hear, yeah.
Well,
I
mean, aliens have landed on Earth. You get all the news from me, I'm just going to feed you a line of crap.
No, but I mean, it certainly appears that way. And I guess a good example, you know, is a game like Angry Birds. There's been numerous times at work in the break room where you see people fidgeting with their phones, and they're not texting, they're not communicating with anybody. They're playing Angry Birds, or they're playing Scrabble against somebody. Or, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I'm surprised that it's taken off in the manner that it has, and they've done a really good job with it. So the consumer gaming conference thing or whatever, it was really,
Game Developers Conference?
Yeah, GDC. So it was really mobile heavy this time?
There were some big things. First of all, the PSP2 or the NGP was playable, and you could check it out. Cool. Also, the 3DS was as well, and so they're really, I mean, it was cool. And then at the same time, and I'll talk about this in a minute, Apple comes out this week at their private press conference and announces the iPad 2.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting. I encourage our listeners to go out there and to YouTube and check out the 3DS footage videos, also the PSP2. I've watched a lot of them, and it's really interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how those handhelds kind of pull into the market. And it'll be interesting to see if the PSP2, this is what I'm watching, is able to capture Nintendo's market in the handheld. And it's also going to be interesting to see how the prices and how many sales Nintendo and Sony are able to rack up with things like the Droid phones and the iPads also cutting into that market. Because people can say what they want about mobile gaming, and they can say like, well, iPad and iPhone games are nothing but quick pickup games, but the reality is I've played full-blown versions of games such as Grand Theft Auto Chinatown Wars, which were developed for the PSP and the DS.
Yeah.
And I've played a more cleaner version on my iPad that's really sucked me in, and it was a long-term fun game, you know? So the power is definitely there, and so it'll be interesting to see how all that plays out and everything. So it was just really mobile-heavy, and more news with that is that the PlayStation Portable, if you've been waiting to get one, you can actually go get a PlayStation Go or PSP Go for $150 now, and a PSP 3000 for $129. They've slashed the prices for the release of the new consoles. But, I mean, I could get a used PSP for $60 if I played my cards right on Craigslist a year ago. So I don't think I'm paying that much.
And I guess for me, just because we haven't taken that next step from a mobile gaming perspective, even if they can put in a game that I would be willing to put 25 hours into, until I can get the sensation of pressing the button, it's going to be hard to win over someone like me. I could see a consumer like me. I vision myself having a 3DS and a device that is going to allow me to play those mobile games. Like I don't see myself choosing either or. So I'm the type of consumer that's going to be helping both of those markets. And I think that from a gamer perspective, I think that we'll actually see that happen where because we're not going to have a choice. We're all going to be stuck with smartphones or no phone. So you're going to see us be tempted to buy the $1 to $3 games or spend $10 on a really big game. Like, for example, like Dead Space, you know, getting the Dead Space review that you did and how the mobile version of Dead Space actually adds to the story and the gap between Dead Space 1 and 2. I could see gamers utilizing, just like I have multiple consoles, utilizing multiple forms of handheld gaming to get different experiences. And I'm sorry, man, pushing a button, I don't know if I'll ever be able to let that go. And until they figure out a way, I'm going to be a gamer that's going to participate in both of those markets where, you know what I mean?
That's one of the things I wanted to tell you too is also, and also this week, one of the big raves at Game Developers Conference was someone has developed a analog stick for the iPad.
That's cool.
That actually stays on the screen. And supposedly it just works an amazing way. So I'm actually going to get a hand on that and do a review of one of those. So
that's cool.
I'm pretty excited about that. But yeah, so it'll be interesting to see all of that. And I do have a few more announcements from the GDC as well.
Yeah.
Bungie, the creators of Halo, have announced that they are creating their next game outside of the Microsoft helm will be published by Activision.
Okay.
And it's actually going to be a massive multiplayer online game.
Interesting.
No one knows what it's going to be. Some people have said the code name is Destiny, but no one knows what it's going to be about. All we know is that they're creating an MMO with Activision. And someone overheard a Bungie employee say that it will not be World of Warcraft in space. And that's all we know. So, and it's going to be an MMO. And I'm telling you, like, no MMO has really cracked the market of World of Warcraft yet. And so I think if any company can do it,
I think... Well, just US-wise. I mean, StarCraft 2 is going nuts.
But that's not an MMO.
It's not?
No.
Don't all those people play online together?
You can play against each other in, like, death matches and stuff. It's a real-time strategy game. Yeah, MMO is the ones that kind of like DC Universe. Yeah.
I got you. Never mind. I got to just stay out of the modern stuff. I have no clue.
Just try to beat Mario Brothers, okay?
I did!
Just kidding.
Multiple times.
So anyways, bring
it.
Yes.
You beat Contra. Let's see, you have video evidence of it.
I can with the code, no problem. So, Bungie's creating an MMO. So anyways, finishing off the modern portion here, we have the iPad 2 being announced this week. And this is, it's so funny to me because people continue to talk about, well, Apple doesn't have that much of the market and they're losing market to Android. Yeah, the numbers show that they have about 90%, I think. So that's pretty darn good. And then everyone that's been releasing all these Android tablets.
Yeah.
A little bit of news for you. Although, Scott, you and I fully support Android. We're actually adding Android reviews. And I'm actually wanting Android to get some of the market so we can see some healthy competition here. But it's just crazy how Apple always seems to be a step ahead of the game when it comes to these cool little electronic devices, because everyone's releasing these Android tablets and stuff, and then Apple comes out and releases the iPad 2, which is just spec-wise, just it's sick. I mean, no one knows what the RAM's going to be yet. It's going to have two cameras, a front-facing and rear-facing, and the rear-facing does 720p recording.
Oh, that's cool.
It's going to have a 9.7-inch LED display with 1024 by 768 resolution, which is just sick. It's going to have a dual core A5 processor, so twice as fast as the current iPad is, processing wise, and it supports video output up to 1080p.
Cool.
It'll run iOS 4.3. It's going to be thinner and lighter. It's said that the graphics processing unit, the GPU, is 9 times faster than the first iPad.
Yeah, well, are they going to allow you to do more than one thing at once?
Yeah, you can already do that on the iPads.
Okay. And yep. And
yeah, multitasking already.
All right. And Flash Player. I know that's not an iPad. Are they going to
be
Flash enabled?
Oh, no, that's never going to be on Apple. No.
No, never.
No, but that's okay. So that, I just thought that was cool. It looks like a really awesome tablet, and we'll see. I'd like to get up to the Apple store in Columbus and get my hand on one and just see what it's like. But I'm sticking with my iPad 1 for now, for sure.
I saw some funny tweets from random people that are not involved in gaming at all. More on the music side. One of my favorite producers ever made a comment, and he's like, I just saw the Apple II. Does anybody want an iPad 1? And it was like, because of the GarageBand feature.
Oh, yeah, it's
crazy. We won't get into that, but holy crap, dude. It's a full music studio in the iPad 2. That was the thing that impressed me the most.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So, I don't know. It just looks really neat, and I am pretty excited about some Android tablets too, the Motorola Zoom. I'm excited. Actually, Kobe Electronics has a really neat tablet coming out, a 10-inch tablet that looks pretty good. So it's going to be interesting to see in the tablet market over the next couple of years as they develop a little bit more. We're kind of moving out of that first generation and just seeing what happens with all that.
Yeah, so. And you know what's funny is when they released the idea of tablets, you know, when the iPad came out, it for me didn't seem like a feasible
product. I totally agree, man.
It seemed like more of a gimmick, and you had to be kind of an Apple nut. And now with like the Galaxy, the Zoom, I don't know what the Kobe one's going to be called, but with Kobe coming out with one, Dell's got one. It's really catching on. And the thing is outside of you, I didn't think I was going to see anybody walking around and using an iPad functionally. And you actually see it really often. Lots of people use it for a laptop wherever they go. And it got to give credit to Apple for realizing that would be a product that would catch on. I kind of thought that tablets would flop. And they're incredibly popular and will continue to be.
Well, dude, it's I always kind of thought they were a joke. And you hear all these Deutsches on the internet saying it's just a big iPod Touch, but once you figure out the functionality and you use one, it's amazing. Like once I went into an Apple store and used one, and then once I started to use it for typing and recording and all different things, I mean, I just realized how functional it is, and it really works well. So I was pretty impressed with it. But anyways, so it's cool to see all the mobile stuff coming out and some of the big announcements coming from Game Developers Conference. I had another story I was going to cover from GameStop, but I think I'm going to skip that one for time reasons because I want to have one more discussion before we close.
Absolutely. I was going to say you better not be done. I drank two cups of coffee before we started.
No, I got I'm close to the end here, but I wanted to say, first of all, I did want to mention that Team ICO is releasing the ICO collection in Shadow of the Colossus remastered on PlayStation 3, which is going to be one of the biggest releases of the year in anticipation for Team ICO's new game coming out for PS3. And so these were two big PlayStation 2 games, going to be on a Blu-ray disc remastered in HD. And get out to YouTube right now and watch the trailer. They showed it at Game Developers Conference. It looks amazing. Like, it looks really neat. So I'm really going to buy that one. So I'm pretty excited about that. So
cool.
Make sure you check that out. But the discussion I want to have, Scott, with you is with the 3DS coming out. Is Nintendo abandoning the Wii? People are talking about it this week. Is the Wii dead?
It's on life support, in my opinion. Yeah, it is. I think that as much as I still like the system, it will always be one that I enjoy quite a lot. It feels like the Nintendo's been in the process of abandoning the Wii for a while. And the reason I say that is because they didn't put any effort into improving the online functionality. So my guess would be that it's not necessarily abandoning home consoles. I just think that that they might be abandoning the Wii. And what I think that they're banking on is a tidal wave of success with the 3DS and roll that into the release of whatever the next Wii will be. I don't think that they will come out with a Wii HD just for the sake of having an HD version of the Wii. I think that they'll really try to look at being the first one to enter the next generation. That way they are able to capture a lot of that.
Okay, now I want to ask the tough question, and some of our listeners may disagree, but in my opinion, Nintendo is really scaring me. Now, and it's hard for someone like me who grew up in that generation, who loves Nintendo and has played all the Nintendo hits, but I don't like the trending I'm seeing with the company, and here's why. So the NES and the Super Nintendo led the market almost the entire time they were out. You know,
I mean, Genesis.
Yeah, dude, I
made
know
a
that.
major impact there, right in the middle.
I know,
of those. Okay.
But Nintendo was a major player in the market. Okay,
no question.
And they still are. I mean, now if you're talking financially, they're blowing everyone out of the water. There's not even a question. I mean, they're making more money than Microsoft and Sony combined on gaming. You know, like the Wii was just insane with sales. Okay, nothing ever like it before. But the track record with the Nintendo 64, the GameCube, and now the Wii has been the exact same. And here's what happens. Everyone buys it when it comes out. Huge tidal wave success for each system. And then they release maybe one or two versions of their smash hits. Third-party support is there, but because they create things that are behind the wave, you know, so I think with the Nintendo 64, which is one of my favorite systems, don't get me wrong, but everyone was moving to CD-based systems. They chose cartridge.
Yeah.
And then we have the Xbox and the PS2, which graphically the GameCube was right there with them, processing power, but they chose those little tiny discs that could only hold so much of the data.
Yeah, that was a poor choice because, like, Tiger Woods, for example, I love that game, 04 and 05. And on my GameCube, I need two discs, and one of them is scratched, so half the courses I can't play now.
Yeah, the game suffered. And so and then we have the Wii, which is a complete generation behind with processing power and graphically.
Yeah.
Plus, you add in that it's mainly a motion-controlled system, which I would say 50% of the games had to force themselves to include that.
Yeah. Definitely. I would agree with
that. So the third-party support for the last three consoles has been crazy because they've chosen to be against the grain. Now, everyone says, but on paper, they're awesome. Of course, they're making all these sales, and they're leading the way, and they're doing things that no one else is doing. But do they really do things that matter to increase the gaming market? That's what I want to know, because the Nintendo 64, they abandoned it at the end, I would say.
Well, definitely. To a much lesser degree, when you say it the way that you do with the 64 to the GameCube to the Wii, it has almost a Sega-ish sort of a feel, you know, the way that Sega kind of ran out, you know, with the Sega CD 32X and
Sega
the Saturn and the Dreamcast.
Stupid.
Yeah, they were really, really dumb about it. But
like,
I'm just saying,
up to this point, Nintendo's still selling. But for me, like, I wasn't that excited about the Wii because I'm like, they're gonna abandon it, and sure enough, they did. And so now I'm like, whatever.
It's been out for a while, though, dude. I mean, it's not like
I know that, but I mean, literally, tell me, there are just not tons of third party games that are great. I mean, Nintendo is living off of their new systems, they're living off their handhelds, and then they're living off their five, you know, exclusives that no one else can have.
Yeah.
You know, that they continue to remake. And I just ask, like, at what point does the industry kind of wake up to this trending? I mean, and it's a hard question for me to ask because I feel like I'm attacking Nintendo.
In my opinion, it's not the industry waking up or not. It's when the consumer will. And if the consumer...
That's what I'm talking about, the consumer. I'm sorry. That's what I meant to say. When will the consumer wake up and say, I'm just not going to buy your next system because, you know... I mean, my Wii sat there for months, dude, before I sold it. It sat there for months with, like, it had dust on it.
Yeah.
I couldn't play it. Because I'm just like, there were just absolutely no games that I wanted to play.
No, I agree with that, and the third party support is not there. And the one thing that has me thinking that Nintendo might turn it around and might do a good job when they do enter the next generation of home consoles is the fact that developers have come out and talked about how much easier the 3DS is to develop for than any of the Nintendo games or Nintendo systems have been in the past. And the fact that Nintendo seems to be wising up to the fact that you can't run everything off Donkey Kong, Mario, and Zelda. You need some good third-party support. And if they've made it so that the 3DS is easy to develop for, so hopefully then, ideally, you get good titles from that, then it has me hopeful that they will go in with a mindset that they need third-party developers to be very successful on their system, or they're going to be in a lot of trouble. And it would... I can't imagine a video game world without Nintendo having a major presence. So I would have to hope that they make the next generation not a Wii 2, but a legit jump forward. And hopefully they will keep third-party development in mind. And I if I had to bet, I would guess that they will. I am cautiously optimistic about what Nintendo is going to do to follow up the Wii in terms of a home console. But to answer your original question again, yeah, dude, they're banning it, and it's felt that way for quite a while. They really wanted to make a splash with E3 this year in 2010. The 3DS was there to blow everybody out of the water and get everybody's attention on Nintendo, and it did that effectively, right? And then what they did was then they bust out Donkey Kong. Well, everyone's feeling Nintendo. Then they bust out Donkey Kong, and all of a sudden they get everyone's attention and strike the nostalgia nerve all at the same time. So that's why they had such a good showing at E3. And then things have kind of fizzled since then. So with a very successful launch of the 3DS, I really do think that the next console will be... I think it's going to be good, man. I gotta believe that they're gonna learn from their mistakes. You don't seem to give me the impression, though, that you think that they will, because they...
I'm just saying, after three generations,
they've done it three times in a row. I know. You're losing faith, and rightfully so.
And here's why: I feel like that it's transitioning from what gamers want to let's make more money, and that I never liked that.
No, that because eventually, you know, if you lose the consumer, then you lose the money. It is unnerving that it does look like they might be shifting. You know, the Nintendo quality seal was there for a reason, and it was right after the video game crash. They're like, hey, we promise our stuff is good. We verified it ourselves, you know? So I definitely am hopeful. I'll keep my fingers crossed. I'm not a fanboy, but I'm a really, really big Nintendo supporter. So good discussion, man. And I hope that some of our listeners will write in at classicelite@gmail.com to let us know what their thoughts on Nintendo's future will be. Are they abandoning the Wii? Will the next console be any good? Like I said, classicelite@gmail.com. Tony, what are some other ways for people to get a hold of us?
You can go to classicleet.com. They can follow us on Twitter at classicleet. They can also email Scott and I separately, tony@classicleet.com or scott@classicleet.com. And you can listen to us on GNet Radio every week, as well as... That's it.
iTunes. Please rate us on iTunes. No one's finding us on iTunes.
iTunes, Facebook, MySpace, everywhere.
Everywhere. Just rate
us. So where are our t-shirts? You can order them. No, you can't yet. We don't have them.
No,
so.
We can't. No one would buy one. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Let's not. All right, that does it for episode 42 of Classic Leap. My name's Tony, here with my friend Scott, and we will see you all next week.